Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com. Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Felice Fryer, Boston Globe reporter, welcome to The Common.
Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, thank you for coming through. So Felice, we have you here because we want to check in on the state's mental health overhaul, which is over 6 months in, right? In January, Massachusetts launched its Behavioral Health Helpline. That was a key part of the state's Roadmap for Behavioral Health Reform project. Can you just remind us what that roadmap is and where it came from?
It's a really, you use the word overhaul, so it's a pretty complex system that has been set up with the hope of making it easier for people to access mental health care. So where it came from is a really bad situation that has existed in Massachusetts for many years, where people often have to wait weeks to months to get an appointment for mental health care. People who are in crisis situations go to the emergency room where they often have to wait for days or weeks to get a bed in a psychiatric hospital. And it's just a very upsetting situation. So this goes back to the Baker administration and Baker's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mary Lou Sutters, who came up with this plan after holding meetings around the state. The key part of it and the part that went into effect on January 1st is what they call the front door. So this means that there is a phone number that you can call and there will be somebody who will answer it. And the data shows that person is answering within a few seconds. You tell them your situation and they're going to connect you with somebody who can help. And they're going to stay on the line until you make that connection.
So what happens after they make that initial connection?
Then after that, one of the things that the helpline person might do is connect you with mobile crisis services. So this is a group of people that can come out to your home if needed or wherever you are. They'll go to schools, they'll go to other places and do an assessment on the spot and see what needs to be done. And most of the time you don't have to go to the emergency room. There are alternatives. Another component of it is these mental health urgent care centers, which are just like the physical health urgent care centers, you know, that you would go to with a cut or an infection. Instead, you go in with a mental health complaint and there'll be somebody who can see you on a walk-in basis right there and help you figure out what your next steps will be. And then finally, the state has created, by working with existing providers in the community, a network of what they're calling community behavioral health centers. And these centers are supposed to take care of you after that. And they're doing it in different ways because they have a different funding mechanism.
I want to get into this whole system here that you've just laid out, right? Tell me, what's working?
The helpline, from what I hear, is working really well. Lots of people are calling in, so the word is starting to get out. The callers, they're getting an immediate response. People are staying on the line for a long time. I interviewed a woman who was trying to deal with her daughter who had bipolar disorder and was in a moment where she was kind of out of control. And normally the woman would have gone to the emergency room with her, but instead she said, all right, I'll try this new phone line. And she found the person on the line to be really warm and helpful. They connected with the mobile crisis team, but but unfortunately, and this is something we'll have to talk about, that team didn't have anyone available to come out to the house. But in the end, she was able to sort of calm things down, and they were able to figure out what to do next. Mm-hmm. So that helpline seems to be working. From what I've heard, people are very pleased with it.
Okay.
What's not working as well, and this was kind of anticipated, it's really hard to get enough people to do this work. All the behavioral health centers are struggling to hire enough staff. They're able to pay them more than they were able to pay them in the past. And so that is helping. You know, when I first wrote about it, I sort of raised the issue, okay, we have this front door. Are people going to get into the front door and then get stuck in the vestibule, you know? And to a certain extent, that is happening. But in a way, the vestibule is a lot more comfortable than outside with the wind howling, you know? So
right, you're getting something.
You're getting something, right. Everybody is getting something. And this is often very, very helpful to people. And eventually, they will get into care. And, you know, some people are getting in right away.
I want to understand, you know, everybody's getting something, right? What is that something?
Right, exactly. So if the only thing you want is to be meeting one-on-one with a therapist, a licensed therapist, you may have to wait. Mm-hmm. But what these new centers are doing is that they have other approaches. Because there's been a change in the way the state reimburses for care, they can hire what they call peer specialists. So these are people who have gone through whatever you've gone through. Either they have a mental health disorder or they have been treated for substance use disorder. So, and they've been trained to deal with you, but they're not licensed clinicians. So they can consult with you and help you figure out how to manage your life and coping skills and things like that. They're also able to hire these care coordinators who can connect you with all kinds of resources. Even if you don't have enough food or place to live, you know, they help you figure your way through the system. And they're also doing a lot more group therapy. And some people really prefer the groups. Mm-hmm. So with these additional options, they think that they can increase the capacity, but they're also all still trying to hire more people.
Mm-hmm. So we're still in the crisis of the worker shortage.
Right.
Pretty much.
Exactly. And the state is doing, you know, separately from the roadmap, but related to it, the state is investing a lot in loan reimbursements and scholarships and things like that and variety of programs to encourage more people to go into the business and also make it pay better, make it, you know, less of a financial struggle. So that will help, but that's not something that happens overnight.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play. A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
Bluey! A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmanning, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Are people optimistic that once they get the workers in place that this will be an exceptional collection of programs? Like, do they think that this can work?
I'm hearing a lot of optimistic voices about it. Mm-hmm. But a key thing to understand, these community behavioral health centers, right now they're almost exclusively working with people who are on MassHealth, the state's Medicaid program. Now, that's a lot of people. A third of the state's population is covered by MassHealth. But they're still struggling to get contracts with the private insurers to offer this package of services that they have. And the private insurers will probably come around at some point. The state is requiring them to pay for the crisis services, but not this ongoing care. It's not required. They have to choose to sign up for it. So the hope is that as it starts to play out and they can demonstrate that this is an effective model, that more insurers will sign on to it, and that will increase access for people who have private insurance. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's happening that the state is trying to cope with is that because they're paying higher rates to these community behavioral health centers and people are attracted to them, there's a finite number of providers out there. So they're attracting people from other mental health providers and others, sometimes even within the same organization. People are like walking across the corridor into a higher paying job. But what they used to do was still needed. And so there really has to be more money put into the system throughout the system. Otherwise, other services are going to start to atrophy while the community behavioral health centers try to beef up their staffing. So it's really a complicated challenge for the state.
Yeah, but it all comes back to money, it seems.
I'm afraid so. The healthcare system is driven by money. And also, this particular aspect of healthcare, mental health care and addiction treatment, has always been underfunded. It's this aspect of healthcare, people who work in it have been paid too little for way too long. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make up for the neglect that's occurred in the past. Mm-hmm. And that takes a while.
What have you heard from mental health advocates?
What I'm hearing from mental health advocates is that they really applaud the state for attempting to do this. It actually started before the pandemic. It's a huge endeavor, and they feel like it's going to work, but it needs some time. It's a work in progress. State officials are saying the same thing. You know, they're very excited about it. They are seeing some changes in the MassHealth program. They say that they have seen a reduction in the number of MassHealth patients who are going to the emergency room for mental health care. So they're saying that they're starting to see some effects, and they're going to keep working at it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, how would you yourself grade the roadmap's performance over the past 6 months?
I actually teach a course where I have to grade my students on writing, and I hate grades. I always tell them, I wish I didn't have to grade you. The state certainly gets an A for effort. I think it's really an extraordinary program. They're going in and dealing with a system that's been hobbling along for a long time, neglected, underfunded, and they're trying to change everything. And it seems like the ideas they have are what's needed, and it's going to take time because it's such a huge undertaking, but you can't not feel that this is a well-meaning and well-directed effort on the part of the state. Mm-hmm. I spoke with one of the heads of the community behavioral health centers, said, "We're finally getting to treat our patients the way we've wanted to for a long time." Mm. And they weren't able to do that in the past because they get paid for each encounter. So you only get reimbursed if you sit down with the therapist, and you get for that 50 minutes, and people need so many other services. And now what they get is a set payment per patient. So that allows them that they take this pot of money and they do whatever that patient needs. So it can be more individualized and it can be more varied. And so they're very happy to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. That all sounds very optimistic.
I mean, there's challenges. I don't want to underrate the challenges, you know, and there has to be a continued commitment to this long term. And it has to come from a lot of people, you know, in the public and private sector and the private insurers. You know, everyone's got to get together to make this work.
That leads to my next question. You're getting into it already. What will you be looking out for over the next 6 months?
So I'm going to be looking at what's happening with the staffing. I'm going to be looking at how the state is addressing the issue of this cannibalization, you know, where people are moving from other agencies into these new ones that they've created. I'm going to be looking to see if the private insurers decide to contract with the community behavioral health centers. And I'll be looking to see, you know, what advocates are saying about patients' experiences and whether they are ultimately getting what they need, whether they're getting past that vestibule, you know, into the house of care.
Right. Well, Felice, thank you so much for coming through to the Common and walking us through all of this. We really, really appreciate it. Please come back.
Anytime. It's been my pleasure.
That's Boston Globe reporter Felice Fryer. Also, if you or someone you know would like to get connected with the state's mental health resources, you can call or text the state's hotline number, which is 833-773-2445. That's 833-773-2445. And the National Crisis Lifeline is 988. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Could you do us a favor? Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We would really, really, really appreciate it. Also, if you have any thoughts on this episode, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.